So I'm looking at 34 people right now, and we may have more to come. Just give me a quick raise of the hand. Go down to the reactions button and raise your hand if this is the first ODF conversation or event you're attending. I want to see how many newbies we've got out here. I see a thumbs up, three, keep.
Ryan Worth.
Brian, Alec, Alex, Andreas, Karina.
Kehinde, did I pronounce your name correctly?
Yes, you did.
Excellent.
Thank
Stacy.
you. Oluo. Welcome. So those of you who are new, we welcome you. This is something we do a lot of at ODF. We gather our community and we talk about pressing issues of interest, issues around which innovation happens. And you've got some of the brightest, most dedicated people in the field of org design in company with you today. So I want to welcome you and invite you to future conversations, future community conversations. Maybe even we'll talk about our conference towards the end, our annual in-person conference, which will also be virtual. So this is a big warm welcome from ODF, from the board, and from the members of the Community Engagement Learning Team. Today, I want to turn it over to Mark. Mark is working with Dennis Hutchison, and we're gonna present this dilemma and talk about it. So without further ado, let's just do that. Mark, you want to take it from here?
You bet. Thanks, Carlos. Thank you, Tanya. Thank Duyen, and the team behind the scenes for connecting Dennis. Dennis, thanks for bringing the dilemma to us. The purpose of this organization dilemma is to bring dilemmas to you that we face day in, day out, and without kind of a solution. So we're not going to be kind of gaming and making you guess. The whole idea here is to get a community collective genius focused on an issue, and let's see where it lands. I'm going to be facilitating and taking us through today for the next hour and 10 minutes. Wherever you're at in the world, we're going to end at 15 minutes past the hour, so we're scheduled for 75 minutes. We're 5 minutes in, so you can do the math. It's an hour and 10 minutes. What we're going to do is, in just a minute here, I'm going to pass it off to Dennis and have Dennis set up the context. We're also going to take a poll while you're doing that, and have you ask some questions about the context. And then we have at least two rounds of questions that Dennis would like to pose to the group. And then coming out of those questions, we're going to see what you've come up with and why, and have a robust, hopefully robust discussion and some debate. And then at the end, we'll have Dennis ask some questions, do some summary, and then I'll give you some wisdom from the years my gray beard will illustrate in doing this work, and then we'll close it up and move on. So with that said, I'm going to pass it off to Dennis. And Dennis, I'm going to have you open it up and give us the context.
Okay, well, thank you. And first, let me stop and thank everybody for attending this. I know you have other things going on, and I really appreciate your willingness to share your time to help me think through these this dilemma. So, just to set some context, the organization design capabilities in my company have been in existence there for about 15 years, and they started out in a group called Workforce Development by two guys that were in that group who had an interest and a background in organization design. And they established the practice within workforce development. Then workforce development went through a transformation. Actually, we went through several transformations, but the transformation that they went through initially split the organization out from workforce development, which is under corporate HR as the primary umbrella there. And they moved them to the total rewards organization, which is the organization that handles multiple things, like they set the salaries for the company, they have all the benefits, design all the benefits for the company. And they also housed the acquisitions and divestitures. Or they participated in, they didn't manage those, but they participated in the acquisitions and divestitures in the company. And that's where the organization capabilities have resided for the last, I don't know, 10 years, 12 years, something like that. And at this point, the HR leadership is wondering, is this the best way to position those capabilities within the organization? Or is there a function or an area of the organization that would be better suited to support and utilize the capabilities that we have? It's the organization, the capabilities we have are pretty robust. We have a very robust toolkit. We've never had a problem with having a backlog of projects to be focused on. The projects we work on, we work across all of the entire organization. So it's a multinational organization. And for example, I spent 2 years in Tengiz, and I've been in Kuwait, and I'm currently in the Pacific Rim doing some work. But so we're everywhere. We go wherever the need is in the organization. There's no governance associated with the use of these capabilities in our company. So business units are free to use whomever they want. They can go to third party externals or they can use us. So I think that's another piece of information you probably need to know. The other piece is that for cost recovery, we don't charge our time to the business units or to whichever function is requesting our services. It's all built into the corporate cost center. So if someone chooses to use our services, they've basically already paid for them in some capacity, but they may be getting more money worth than they actually put into the process because some of these projects last many months or a year. So that's kind of the setup of where we are right now. And the question is, where should organization design capabilities reside within corporate structures? Mm-hmm. And is there a governance model that that everyone on the call has experienced or has thought about that would be best applied to how to utilize these capabilities? And I'll put those questions in the chat.
So Dennis, before we open it up for people to ask you questions about the context, what are some of the drivers behind HR leadership asking the question now?
I think the drivers are recognizing that our capabilities are not core to what HR is, what the value proposition is for HR, the core value proposition for HR. And the organization has gone through quite a bit of transformation for the last 4 or 5 years. And I don't know that there's an efficiency factor in here, whether they're looking at reducing the HR overhead, or I'm not aware of that. But I do know there's questions about what would be the most effective use of the capabilities, and so how would you position this?
So what I'd like to propose, thank you for that, Dennis. What I'd like to propose, don't answer the questions that Dennis articulated just a few minutes ago. What I would like you to focus on is, what questions do you have about context, drivers, or anything before we put you in a small group to take on that first question, which is, where should organization design capability reside? Go ahead, Jane, please. And then Craig. We're holding, Jane, don't worry. Still can't hear you, Jane.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Loud and clear. Nicely done.
Sorry, I thought there was something wrong with the settings. So the one question that I had, it's more of a very practical question, but when you say OD capability or design capability, what are some other components that are included in that? And I ask that question because sometimes, it's just pure play design, but other times I find that there's also the effectiveness piece, right? The process redesign and, other things like that. So is it just pure play org design or change management? Like, where does all of that fit?
What's included in org design, Dennis?
Yeah, thank you. That's a helpful question. So what's included is we will work with teams, starting with the strategic statements for the organization, which are strategic imperatives, and we'll carry them through the operating model, the high level design, and then the detailed design. We stop at the detailed design, and we don't go into implementation at all. We feel like that's a different skill set, and we have those capabilities elsewhere in the organization, and they're very good at that. And the implementation piece includes change management, as well as the more traditional organization development efforts.
So Dennis, are you saying, just summarizing, that implementation planning and implementation itself and change management are someplace else in the organization, so it's a pass off to a different function?
Right. We do get them involved. Certainly by the time we get to the detailed design, they'll get more involved. We actually contact them at the very beginning of the project so that they're aware that the project is going on. They are part of the framing process, so they're looking at the scope of the project, so they have an idea of what level of change may be coming their way down the road. But they really don't engage heavily until about the high level design to detailed design phase.
Thank you. Okay, Craig, you're on.
Yeah, I was just going to ask Dennis, what's perception from the business leaders about the work that you guys do?
We have a very good reputation in the organization. And I can't think of a single project where it's been there's been a negative. And the level of the organization we work with is typically the vice president to the GM level of the organization. Occasionally, we'll have smaller projects where a functional manager will ask us to help, but those are usually very short projects.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Ken, I think your hand was next.
Okay. I wanted to know if your company uses external org design consultants.
We do.
Do they work through your group, or does your group hire externals to support you? And how do you relate to work that other externals are doing?
Okay, yeah, that's another very insightful question. So we do use external consultants very readily at our company, and as far as how we relate to them, we've had projects where we've worked in tandem with them and with various degrees of success on that. But the companies don't have to use our services internally. So I'm trying to remember the other parts of your question around that. Did I capture that?
Yeah. I guess in my experience, often organizations hire externals who are at a higher level of capability than any of their staff people.
Hey, Ken?
Yeah.
Ken, can you hold on a sec?
Sure.
Because I want to keep the context setting going.
Sure.
Sean, did I pronounce your name correctly? Your hand is up. And then Linda Apple.
And Mark, I want to respond to another piece of
that. Sure, go ahead.
Okay. So as far as it's more of a capacity rather than capability aspect when we're talking about some of these really large projects, and for example acquisitions or we're combining two major business units or that kind of thing. So it's not so much around capabilities of the organization. We have very deep capabilities. The other piece of that was that the company would not be hiring external resources to assist us with these projects. It would be coming from the business unit itself.
Gotcha. All right.
Thanks, Mark, for pronouncing it correctly. Hi, Dennis. Just a quick question. I know you mentioned about working across the organization. Do you have any success criteria or kind of KPIs that you assess against each of the programs and projects that you work across the organization? And then how do you reflect on that? Maybe it's a detailed question, might be, but I just wanted to check whether that's one of the drivers forward as well.
Yeah, our KPIs are pretty much set by our customers. They tell us what good looks like, and that's what we're aiming to deliver. So if it's a, if it's an efficiency project, then you know it's a dollar amount. If it's an effectiveness project, it's those are harder to measure, but it's whether they feel like they've aligned the work in the right way to get the result that they're looking for.
Thank you.
Linda, and then Caitlin.
Yeah, thank you. Just want to ensure you were in the exact same shoes you're in. We could have come with the same the same challenge here. But I did want to ask a couple questions about what the work of your group includes. Are you also working on, before you pass off to change management, do you also do governance, decision authority, integration points, process development and improvement work? Is all that included in your org design, or is that something you pass off to change management?
No, that's included in what we cover with the teams, okay. Our project teams.
Thank you.
Good question, Linda. Caitlin, you're on.
Hi, Dennis. I just had a quick question. Maybe it's one question with two parts. The first being, how long has the team been in place? And the second being, if you were involved in kind of the setup of this team, how did that process go and what did it look like?
It's been in existence for about 15 years, and I wasn't involved in the setup of that. But the way that it set up was established was it just evolved out of what was organization development work. That morphed into more focus on not the team behaviors that were affecting performance, but the work alignment that was affecting performance.
We're going to, you got a part two, Caitlin?
That was part two. Yeah, we're, I have a colleague of mine on here. We're very early days of launching one of these teams within a company about 80,000 employees. So I was eager to hear how you guys got to the place you are today. Sounds like it's been a little while.
Let's go to Harris and then Carlos.
Hey, Dennis, do you guys have insight when they bring in externals? You know, what is there a percentage of 20% goes to externals versus internal to your team? And if they do, is there a process to make sure that their approach and methodology is aligned to the way that your team approaches it?
There's no governance at all related to the organization design. How you deploy organization design capabilities. And our organization is a very decentralized decision-making organization. And so each business unit has full rein as to who they bring in and how much they pay and how they structure it and all those things. We have had, just to follow up a little bit more on that, we have had situations where, for example, when we've combined two business units, some VP may have been aware of organization design capabilities existed within the organization. And I say that because even though we're in this, we've been in this corporation for 15 years, we're still not, we're not elevated to a level where people have a great deal of awareness that we are there and we're available to them. So we have been brought in to help structure the relationship with the external organization, set the parameters of what they're gonna do, review their processes and provide insights or suggestions for how they might approach things. But that's on a business unit by business unit basis that happens.
So one more question before we go into small groups, and Carlos, you're on.
Yeah, that was, I'm just reflecting a question in the chat. Mark, Gail Sergis asked a question.
Can you just articulate it for us, please?
Yeah, it is. Give me a second. My chat has moved and I have to go back up for it. It has to do where are these org design projects originating from? Dennis, you've touched on it here and there, but where are they being generated generally?
Yeah, so we're multinational with several opcos, and within the opcos, multiple business units, and they can originate at any one of those levels in the organization, at the opco level or at an individual business unit level. And those and business units could be housed in, or located in London or Australia or you know wherever. So,
Uzbekistan.
Yes. Yeah.
I was thinking of your friend, of our colleague Paul.
Yes. Yeah.
Living,
Yes, he lived in Russia for a while.
Yeah, Dennis, question from Jane, and then we'll go to Christian and Nathan, and then I'm gonna get us moving. The question from Jane is, how do you decide which projects to take on then if there's no governance? Is it just based on, or how do you decide?
We look at the impact to the organization from a financial standpoint. You know, what would the shareholders want us to focus our time on? What's going to be the return for the company for our time? And that's primarily our focal point, is impact of the organization.
Okay, great. Christian, then Nathan, and then we're going to go into small breakouts. Christian, you're on.
Great. Thank you, Mark. Dennis, one question that came to mind, is this dilemma, is this question of concern to just you, the entire team? Are there any other members of the leadership who's also concerned where this belongs, OD?
Yeah, it's, right now I would say that the question is perhaps up to the GM level of the HR business unit that we report under. Our manager came to us and asked if we could query our professional organizations to find out if there's some insights there for us to consider and then elevate that to upper management.
Nathan.
Yeah, I actually had maybe two quick questions. One, I think maybe you've already answered this. The first one is related to as you're engaging in projects, and I'm not intimately familiar with your business structure, how do you ensure that an org design effort that you're undertaking is in alignment with an overarching strategy, or doesn't have a detrimental effect on a different part of the org? Like, how do you keep stakeholders connected? So that's kind of one. And then the other is related to management capabilities. So as you're going through an org design effort, are you also focused on upskilling leadership capability?
Okay, so let me start with the last question. Are we looking at upscaling leadership capabilities? We do not. We do not go into that area of discussion with these projects. And as far as the first part of the question, how do we integrate to make sure that we're integrated across the organization from a strategic standpoint? Because of the level of the organization that we're working with, typically VP levels and GM levels, that integration occurs at their level. That if they've engaged us on a project, then their peers know what we're working on, and that's where the coordination takes place. Or lack of coordination takes place. I'll just throw that in too.
Janet asked a question, and maybe just 30 seconds, Dennis, you can respond. Janet asked a question in the chat. If you could reiterate again, why is this being looked at now?
I think that again, the our manager and I think the GM of our organization recognizes that organization capabilities have sort of been a stepchild in the HR function, because it's just our capabilities are not the core deliverable for HR, mm-hmm. And so they're asking the question where would these capabilities best reside?
Great. Yes, Tanya, it's a good reminder. So here's what I'd like to ask. Dennis, would you mind typing out the question in the chat so then Tanya can broadcast it? And then also there is a poll that you can see down at the bottom of your screen. It should say polls. We'd like you to complete that too in the before you go into your small breakout groups. And then we'll look at the results when we come back. Dennis, can you just verbally, I don't know if you can multitask, but what's the question you want people to debate and come back with some options? What's the first question?
So I just placed those in the chat. The first question is, where should organization design capabilities reside within the organizational structure to reap the greatest benefit from the specialized knowledge and skill set? Okay, so that's the first question.
Got it. And what we'd like to ask you is, where do you think it should reside and why? So focus on that question, if you don't mind. And then we'll see you in we're going to put you in groups of 5 to 7. It's not important to have consensus, but if you can land on something in a direction, one or two options, it'd be great. And we're going to give you about 10 minutes to have that discussion, and we'll see you in 10 minutes from your watch. Tanya, anything you want to say to the team before we beam them over into their small groups?
Nope, there's a timer that'll be set. And once it gets to that 60-second countdown, that's just a heads up to that you'll be pulled back together, so you don't need to leave the room or do anything to come back. It'll automatically pull everybody back together, whole group, at the end of 10 minutes.
It's as close as we're going to get to beam me up, Scotty, in Star Trek.
So without any cellular damage.
Exactly. Yeah, no flies. All right, guys, have a good discussion.
Thank you.
Okay, everyone, I'm gonna keep us moving. We're gonna spend about 10, 15 minutes on this part of the, and then go to the next set of questions. Jane, how about your group? Give us a summary of where you guys landed. Is as succinct as you can?
I'll try to be as succinct, and because I missed the last minute, anyone, please feel free to add on to what I'm saying. So I think that the answer that we came up with is it depends, and there are pros and cons to having it in HR. If HR is really strategic, maybe yes, right? Because you're close to the partners that are going to help you implement. But actually, because the work is often really strategic, it may actually need to sit somewhere else, closer to where the strategic decisions are being worked out, right? Because the operating model work then has to follow, and you're sort of more closely aligned to where the strategic decisions get made.
From your team.
Did I misrepresent?
I think you represented really well. And I think in the end, we would just add that the mere fact that they, the head of HR is questioning where it belongs, perhaps tells you that they may not be the right place for this capability to be in the organization. And it, again, depends on the role of the HR. If they don't have the seat at the table, and we believe it to be a strategic capability, then and the answer is staring us in the eye that it probably needs to be elsewhere.
Thank you, Harris. All right, let's hear from another group. Tanya, maybe you can also illustrate the poll where things are currently reside. But let's hear from another group. Where'd you land? Where do you think it should be? Someone go.
I think, okay, I'll go ahead on our behalf. Rest of the team, please feel free to add in. We were having the discussion where we feel the OD function, OD capability should sit with the strategic level, because at boardroom level, there is more capability to spread it out, dovetail it overall to the organization. And also for the HR to be the operational partner, so that you have the ability to cascade it down to all the functions as well as the layers. So that was the broader consensus we had. And please, anybody feel free to add in our team.
Thank you for that. Is it Shiraz or? How do you pronounce your name?
Shiraz, yeah, just as in the wine.
Okay, well, that's not a bad thing, my friend. Let's hear from another group. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I think our group was a mix. I'd say half the group was probably biased more by their current experience, what they're dealing with, mostly in talent management or HR, and feeling the responsibility of also having to skill up their HR partners. So they were wrestling with that a bit, and they were more wanting to know, you know, from this conversation, what is the best. The other half, I'd say we probably lean towards as close to the CEO as possible. having that definite support. And that doesn't have to be directly in. It could be even into a CHRO, but at least that peer level with the other folks in the HR team, so that you have, if you're at that table talking about that value proposition, you would have some good influence on that. And, you know, it could sit a lot of different places, but again, having that support from the CEO level or that level of leadership would be key.
Before we hear from another team, Tanya, can you show the poll where we landed with where things are at today? So 67% said HR. We had 17% strategy and planning. Let me ask from somebody who in their organization, organization design capability is in strategy and planning. What do you see that as? What advantage do you see with it being there in practical terms, not theoretical? Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, everyone. So I worked for about 10 years with a global auto manufacturing company, 6 years within strategic business planning. So within, to answer your question, it's alignment with the direction of the business model and the key leaders within the company. So from an opinion standpoint within my organization previously, all of the org design was sitting under HR. However, HR was isolated not only from a physical capacity, but also they were far removed from the business capacity in that organization. So it was a missed opportunity from my perspective in seeing how the divisions operated together and how HR was treated more as an extension as opposed to a part of the strategy.
Excellent. Dennis, I'm going to let you query the group and see what you want to know before we launch them into the next set of questions. Dennis, what do you got? You want to ask anything?
I guess I'd just like to hear more pros and cons around the HR argument, since there's so many, so large a portion of the group that is either in HR currently or has experience being in HR. If you could just share with me what's working with that, what's not working with that for you.
That'd be great.
In addition to what we've already heard.
All right, there you go. Someone talk to that directly. Go ahead, Caitlin, you're on.
Dennis, we kind of talked a little bit about this in our breakout room, but I think the pros are when business leaders think about this type of activity, it peripherally touches HR today, right? So it might come up in a talent planning conversation. It might come up in a development conversation for someone. It might come up in a team effectiveness type conversation around how the team is working together and where there's issues. So I think that's the pro. I think the cons that I've seen are, I guess, twofold. One is if it's buried too far within HR, and there's not enough connection to the business, then it becomes hard to make sure that everything that you said that your team does around really connecting to the strategy, that makes it really difficult, especially if the leaders above you in the organization don't fully understand what org design is or the value it provides or what it can do for business leaders. And then I think the second piece that could be a con, and I think there was someone else in the group, maybe it was Nathan, who mentioned that his company is upskilling business leaders on org design. I think a con can be sitting in HR. Sometimes there's hyper focus on a team like this upskilling the HR business partners, which is not a bad thing. It can be a good thing. But I think with a team like this, if you sit in HR, you constantly have to juxtapose, right, you know, HR's needs and wants with the business's needs and wants. And sometimes that can be hard if you're sitting within HR because they feel like you're in their house and you should be, I don't love this language, but quote unquote, serving them before you go to serve the business. So
I'm going to keep us moving. Thank you for that, Caitlin. Jennifer, it's good to see you. You're on.
Thanks, Mark. It's good to see you too. Caitlin really said it very well, and I'm working through some very active projects right now that we're struggling with some of those same areas where it's that service to the HR team versus getting into the strategic conversations with the business and seeing how the HR leaders are not tracking with the information that they're getting on the strategic level in order to provide the best advice and consulting to the business. So there's a what I call gatekeeping going on. So I'm not sure how to quite address it. It's a new function that I'm standing up. We're a year into it. And I think we're making headway, but sitting within HR provides that extra layer of work to get into the business conversations versus being in, say, a strategy team in order to, and then being brought in to support that business strategy from that org design and workforce planning activities. So the relationships are there. It's just not quite the understanding of the service that this team provides versus what HR traditionally has done.
Thanks, Jennifer. Linda, and then Jane. And then we'll go to next breakout.
Yeah, I think it's really important to look at what your current operating model is and whether it will help or hinder you from doing what you need to do. In our organization, our business partners have to couple with the OU vice presidents in creating their business plans. And so I immediately get information where org structure is going to be needed or org structure changes to support a change in strategy. So for us, it works great. 2 years ago with the business model we had, it never would have worked. And I was dying to be in the strategy organization. But I'm so sorry. Things pop up on my laptop. But that would be my answer. Look at your business, look at your operating model now. And does that support it from an HR point of view?
And Jane, you're on.
So I just want to build on both the last comment and this one. I think it definitely also, the importance is what is the role of the OD team? Do you have that partnership with the HR business partners so that you can create a plan together for what needs to happen? And what is your connection to the business? So if you don't have access directly to the business, then making sure that you're working on the right stuff, I think, can actually become a challenge. If that gatekeeping and filtering of the HRBP, sort of gets in the way of really getting at the real work. The other thing that I would say about the function sitting in HR, at least my experience, is that it sort of got viewed a little bit as like, oh, you're just in here to do like downsizings, right? And so that, because that is like very associated with it being an HR function, is that you're just doing restructurings and downsizings, when really the way that our team thought about it is, well, we are a strategic capability. We're really here to help you with the operating model and implementing the new strategy of the organization. And we just, if there's not enough leader access to the strategic conversations, then you do end up doing blocking and tackling restructuring work.
Okay. The next set of questions, Dennis, you good to go with those next set of questions? If you wouldn't mind, put them in the chat. We're going to break out to the next set of, before you go in there, I've asked Tanya to do a second poll, which is where should organization design capabilities reside? If you wouldn't mind completing that. The first one was, where are they? The next one is, where should they? Just so we could get that. And then we're going to give you about, 10 minutes, no more, to put you in a small group and answer the second set of questions, which has to do with governance. And Dennis, could you give voice to the questions?
Yes. So on the governance side of things, we've touched on it, and I think Jane just touched on it a little bit there too, in terms of how are the decision, what's the decision criteria that is being used to answer the question, where should organization design capabilities be applied in the organization? And who should be, what should be the roles that, that make those decisions about where the capabilities are applied?
And you had one around governance, is that correct?
Yeah, that's kind of my governance question is
gotcha.
Around, yeah, the where and who and what. Okay. So what's the criteria? Who's making the judgment about or the decision? And so that's
all right. My question. If you wouldn't mind, Tanya, 9 minutes. Just okay. Like your alarm on your iPhone.
And y'all want to stay with the same groups?
Yeah, let's do that if you don't mind.
Okay. And I placed that question in the chat as well, just in case people were wondering where that is.
All right, and I'll try to broadcast in a couple of snippets into the rooms as well. So thank do y'all you. Want to see your results of where it should reside? You want to do that when you get back?
We'll do it when we get back.
Okay, then off you go.
Thank you, Tanya. Yeah, no surprise.
All right, everybody should be popping back in. Can you see the poll?
Yes.
I thought we'd start with where you think it should reside. So no surprise. Look at that. We went from 67% in HR currently today to 68% should be in strategy and planning and 18% saying it should be in HR. So interesting. Surprise, surprise. Yeah, the numbers flipped. Exactly correct. All right. Well, let's. We don't have a lot of time yet. I wish we had more time. Of course, it's the gift for all of us, more time. But let's take a couple minutes. What were some of your responses? Let's hear from different teams. What did you discuss, and where did you land? If you don't mind, just being concise, so we can hear from lots of you. Andreas, you want to speak for your team?
Yeah, I think we covered quite a few different perspectives. I think team, welcome to add on. I think front and foremost from our perspective, I think one is how do you govern? Govern the change. You know, again, the proximity of where that change sits within the operating model is relevant, dependent on where the business needs to go and how the operating model is constructed, is to make sure that we find the right spot for the capability, but then also make sure that we govern the execution and the deployment of our design and our construct in the most optimal manner, not to over-govern, but you know, have governance in the right mechanisms to make sure that we drive alignment, congruency across the enterprise. So I think those were a few that stood out for me.
Got it, excellent. Who else would like to speak for another team? Where did you land? Agatha, do you mind if I put you on the spot?
Oh, of course, the one that barely spoke up. Okay, so we talked, we kind of went back and forth about how to prioritize and where those decisions get made in order to determine what work should be done. And then we talked a little bit about examples, but maybe somebody else from the group can add more because I only jumped in halfway, sorry.
So from a binary perspective, should you have governance, should you not? What, you know, where are you with that? Jane, you're shaking your head. Someone else want to go?
I see Christian's got his hand up.
Ah, Christian, you're on. Thank you for that, Tanya.
Hi. Since we were the same group, we kind of continued from the first conversation where we left it off. And I think where we landed is, of course, it depends. But really what we were looking at is how is organizational design seen within the organization? Is it seen as a tool to deliver on strategy? Or is it seen as a tool to enable the operation side of it to be aligned in order to execute on the strategy? So depending on where it is, then you can position it somewhere closer to where the decision makers are. You know, I've seen it in my experience, even a certain little area underneath the CEO, but I've also seen it under operations. I've seen it under strategy. as well as HR. And it makes sense in HR and for it to be governed by whatever rules and guidelines. If HR really plays a strategic role, there's a CHRO sitting at the table, or people and culture chief sitting at the table, then it makes sense to kind of leave it there and to be governed by whatever is running that division or department. But I think a lot of it is, how do we answer the question? What is it doing? Is it there to enable the execution of strategy or not?
Dennis, I'm going to let you query some people. What do you want to? What do you want to hear? What do you want to ask?
Well, I feel like I've been asking a lot of questions. Paul Wayne has joined the conversation, and Paul is my cohort in all of this. Paul, do you have a question that you'd like to query the group about? And your mute is on if you decide to choose.
We don't have any governance surrounding the use of the org design resources in our company. And I'd like to ask the question, if it does exist, how does it work? And how are I suppose, internal customers obliged, not obliged, invited to leverage that resource internally?
Anyone have any experience with that?
Just we did some work for a global pharma company, very decentralized, like you guys, it appears, and it's almost impossible to sort of stop people from doing what they want to do. But one approach that worked is we put together a org design toolkit that had guiding principles, what we believe org design to be, the do's and don'ts, and we got that in briefings to the business leaders. And more importantly, we put all the HR business partners through a training program on this. So at least they were aware, because they tend to be the ones who would get wind about such things sooner than others. And that helped to some extent, but it's almost impossible to mitigate against that in a highly decentralized organization. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Caitlin?
So if you think about governance from a who made the decision of where we spend our time perspective. When I worked in a smaller biotech, about 3,000, 4,000 employees, the way we did it is at the beginning of the year when strategic planning was happening, we coordinated with the senior most HR business partners in my company to just understand where the needs were. And then our team took it back, figured out where we were going to spend our time. And then it was kind of partnership with those HR business partners throughout the year. And I would say HR was a fairly strategic function in that company. Now working for a much larger pharma company with 80,000 employees, the governance that's being put in place is that our CHRO wants all projects run up through him, which in some ways is good. He has visibility, he can help us prioritize. In other ways, it slows us down because he doesn't always totally understand what the business is trying to do. Personally, from my consulting background, even prior to this, I think the best model is usually one that's kind of a flexible, nimble talent pool that you either partner with the executive team or the senior HR leaders to figure out what the strategy for the company is and then align everything that you're doing to that point. And I think, informal steering committees or having certain senior leaders that you tap on the shoulder to help make sure that you're focusing on the right things is helpful. In my experience, putting really strict governance and decision rights around how and where you spend your time can typically slow a fast moving team like this down.
Paul and Dennis, we have about 3-4 minutes left. Paul, do you want to kind of ask anything before we close up and be respectful of other people's times? And I would also ask Dennis, if people want to write you responses or give you more detail, is there a way that they could do that to you and or Paul?
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't really have any other questions. I'll leave that to Paul if he's got some lingering questions on his mind. But certainly I invite the sharing of continued sharing of information with Paul and myself, and I guess I can just put my email address in the chat session for that or section. Will that work, Mark?
Yeah, that'd be great, Dennis. Okay. So clearly, obviously, we're running out of time, and you probably will have more thoughts and reflections that you want to share with Dennis and Paul. I think it would be worthwhile, just so he doesn't get overly spammed, why don't you just say following in your title, following up the web, the organization design dilemma, so he knows it's legit. They know it's legit. I'm going to offer a couple of comments here in closing, just for consideration. At On the Mark, in our 33 years, we've stood up about 40 internal organization design practices. 80% have been in HR, 20% have been elsewhere. What's really rare, Dennis and Paul, is the tenure and experience that you have in your internal practice compared to others. I will say this, that if you wherever you set it up, that the internal organization designer has to be able to be a free radical and go to wherever they need to go. They need to follow the work, and they need to be able to meet with anyone who's a sponsor or executive, down to the front line, without being burdened by their leader, who they report to, being bent out of shape because they're meeting with the CEO or the CHRO. Or many times what we see in HR is it being overly burdened because you're going over people's heads, and it becomes a big problem. The other element, we've identified 12 enabling functions, conditions that have to happen in order to make it work in HR. And the other one is the three-box model is a very clumsy operating model. And having to work through business partners only makes it that much more bureaucratic and clumsy. I'll stop there, because I could talk about this for hours, but I want to pass it back to, as Carlos said, to step out. So I'll pass it back to you, Tanya, in just about 30 seconds. But what I do want to say to everyone is, first of all, thank you very much for participating, being part of this process. Dennis, you want to give some thanks and then pass it off to Tanya.
Well, I certainly do want to thank everybody for sharing your time today. It's very valuable to Paul and I to hear your comments and your experiences with this topic. So thank you.
Appreciate your participation and ideas, and also enjoyed the discussion. Thanks very much.
Tanya, off back to you.
All right. Well, I am glad to hear, Dennis, that you got some insightful information out of bringing this to the community. And as always, it just puts me in awe how generous everyone is with sharing their time and thoughts when we get these groups together and have these discussions, and you get a chance to suck the genius out of some of the fellow practitioners. And so, as I mentioned at the beginning, this is recorded. So we will share this and the stuff in the chat that's relevant on our website, and I'll let everyone know. And this is a perfect example of the types of conversations that will be taking place at our conference coming up in Philadelphia the first week of May. So May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. You'll start seeing more promotions coming out with information specific to content and who the presenters are going to be. So we look forward to larger back to in-person attendance and moving a little bit away. We'll have some hybrid components, but we just love this chance to sit down and have these conversations over a cocktail or dinner or lunch throughout those 3 days.
Tanya, if you wouldn't mind, let me do a contribution here. These organization design dilemmas are really driven by you. So if you have a dilemma, bring it to Tanya, reach out to me, and we'd love to be able to share some community genius circling around that dilemma. So that's what the
purpose. We're getting this format down. I think, Dennis, it was about 10 days from the time you reached out with your question to being able to get this on the calendar. So our goal is, if you've got something that's, you know, relevant with a bit of a sense of urgency, we'll do our best to fit you in to our rotation of events and support you in any way we can.
Yes. And Mark and Tanya, thank you for your efforts to get this presented quickly. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Dennis. Okay. It's all good to see everyone again, and Paul, you as well. Thanks, everyone.
Take care.
So long.
Thanks. Bye.